Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, you know, you look at this this press conference today of Donald Trump and the coronavirus. Mike Pence now going to be the coronavirus czar. I have no faith whatsoever in anybody in this administration at this point. I've got no faith in Donald Trump. I've got no faith in Mike Pence. We're in a scary moment. And again, this is another one of those moments where we need really smart people in government. I've said this before. I want someone smarter than me running things. I want people smarter than me in the halls of power, making decisions, well, and pursuing policy that's going to help keep us safe, which is why I think this election, I know they say it every election cycle, but this one really, I think this is different. I think this election is the most important in my lifetime, and I'm hoping that more people are coming out, running for office, and, well, you know, flipping some of these seats, which is why we have partnered with No Dem Left Behind to talk to candidates across the country who are running in those red districts to maybe turn those districts blue. And here to share some thoughts on her campaign, I've asked Cindy Beignet to come talk with us. She is a congressional candidate in Florida's 19th congressional district. Cindy, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me here today.
So, you know, let's start with the coronavirus thing. I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm going, I literally have no faith in this administration whatsoever. Where are the really smart people that rush to our aid and save us?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Donald Trump fired all of them and has continued to disfund and disinvest in important scientific components of our government like the CDC. And yeah, I'm really worried about it just like you. I actually lived in Taiwan during the SARS outbreak in the early 2000s. So I've seen what happens to a city and to a country that is gridlocked with a lack of information. Taiwan wasn't allowed to get the benefit of all the scientific knowledge from the WHO because Beijing blocked it. And we were under a panic. And I'm really worried about something like that happening in the United States.
Yeah, isn't it sad? I mean, it's really scary to me that we have a guy who's an ideologue who's just saying, you know, hey, things are fine, everything's great, we're gonna contain it. You had Larry Kudlow the other day saying, you know, it's basically contained. It's not airtight, but you know, it's basically contained.
Yeah, under what parameters has it been contained? Just in his mind?
Well,
they're just talking about, oh, it's okay, it's no problem. But there's been no efforts to contain it that we've seen. It's really like we are living in communist China, where the government just tells us what it is and we're supposed to eat it up.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what America's about.
No, I'm right there with you. And as I said yesterday when I talked about it, I don't know which orifice he pulled it out of, but maybe he should. I'm sure it wasn't airtight.
Stick it back in there.
Exactly. So let's talk about your campaign. Every candidate I talk to, I ask the same question. To start off, it is why, you know, the Teddy Kennedy question, you know, why are you going to put your name into this? Why you want to jump into this? Why are you throwing yourself in the fishbowl?
Well, because I believe the people of Southwest Florida deserve a fighter. And I am that fighter. I actually was a professional boxer in my career. So I usually tout that as the ability to get in there and fight for what we need and the ability to take a punch and get back up. I've worked here with nonprofits, hundreds of organizations, and thousands of people across our district for the past 10 years trying to make our community a better place. And I'm the nerd. I'm the wonk. I'm writing reports. And I tell everybody, hey, I'm going to take your voice. I'm going to give it to leadership, and we're going to make a change here. And every time I do that without fail, the leaders, they pat me on the head, and they say, thanks, and nothing ever changed.
Yeah. No,
I came to the...
You've got an incredibly impressive resume. I mean, PhD, you know, the fighter thing. You know, I've been saying for a long time, I want Democrats who understand how to ball up their little digits and get in there and mix it up. And, you know, look, God bless you for jumping into that.
Absolutely. And I am. So, you know, I decided I really wanted to be that servant leader in my community because there isn't. Everybody else here is in the pockets of developers. They're looking out for themselves. They're just throwing their money around so they can be the big man. There's no one here talking about really making a change and really helping the people that live in this district day in and day out. And I am that person, and I am ready to get in the ring. So ding, ding.
Yeah, there you go. And but you know, here's the thing. I also asked the question: What's that issue that Cindy Banier, you know, the hill you die on? What's that issue that there's no compromise on? This, you've got to be moving on.
I will honestly say, for me, the hill I die on is healthcare. My daughter, my youngest daughter, who just turned 3, spent the first 2 years of her life in and out of the hospital. And while she was in the ICU fighting for her life, I was on the phone fighting the insurance companies. And I've also worked in homeless services here, where I see the medical bankruptcy and debt that people go into, and the sacrifice they give to make their lives better and to save their families. And no American deserves that. And we have a president and a Republican Senate that's talking about ending Obamacare, rolling back protections on pre-existing conditions. And frankly, I'm not going to have it. My family can't afford that, and neither can anybody else in this country.
No, I'm right there with you. So how do you get to that place? Do you find yourself on the side of a Sanders and Medicare for All, or Joe Biden strengthening the ACA, or, you know, Pete Buttigieg, Medicare for Some?
Honestly, based on my experience within a national healthcare system living in Japan, I would like to take some of that lesson here in the United States. They have a nationalized healthcare model that's decentralized to the locals. That means it's implemented locally, and it's on a sliding scale. So as a student there, I was paying $25 a month. There's cost control for the top, from the top down. So nobody's paying outrageous costs, and everybody is healthy. They live longer than anybody else on the planet, and they have great health outcomes. So I don't know why we don't have that as one of the options here. It doesn't have to be the same thing that we've been doing, only bigger. It can be a slight pivot towards a system that works better.
Yeah, and as I've been saying, it's about more than just getting insurance for people. It's about, you know, having that comprehensive care from cradle to grave, and also policies of making sure that people are able to lead lives that are you know, well. You know, talk about, you know, the air, talk about the water, talk about the food that we eat. Of that stuff is part of keeping people healthy, and also, you know, contributing to high costs of the stuff that our health insurance rates go out of control, and not to mention take the profit out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're the only model in the world that does this. So I don't understand it. And it's the other reason why the other issue that's very important for us here in Southwest Florida is our water. A couple of years ago, we had an incredibly devastating bout with red tide and blue-green algae. Red tide affecting the Gulf, blue-green algae coming down from the Gulf, down to the Gulf through Lake Okeechobee and the Coosahatchee River. The biggest concern for us, aside from the economic concerns, was the health concerns. We really didn't know what was going on. We didn't have great research, and it certainly wasn't being shared with us publicly about what was going on, because the economic concern was the paramount.
Right.
And that was a devastating thing. I'll tell you, my daughter was sick at that time. She had actually had respiratory failure because of her compromised immune system from the chemotherapy. And I was deathly afraid. She was 2 years old before she saw the beach, and she grew up right here in Southwest Florida. Wow. That's the kind of fear that we had, because there wasn't public messaging around what was going on. And so when I get elected to Congress, one of the things that I'm going to be doing is making sure that we have funding to actually understand the phenomena of red tide and blue-green algae more, so that we can stop it, but also know what the health consequences are, so that we can be prepared and message to people so that they can continue to enjoy our wonderful, beautiful natural assets without endangering their health.
Yeah, and I got to imagine the other issue that you're probably pretty passionate about is climate change, since you
Absolutely.
Are probably going to be the ones who feel it the most first, just kind of throwing that out there, since they do claim the sea levels are going to rise, and, well, that means you could be underwater.
Oh, yeah, it could be. My house could be underwater, and we're looking at it in not too short of a time frame, frankly, and yeah, we are on the front lines of that. We see that every year with beach erosion. We do see it with the red tide and blue-green algae, which both have heightened consequences when the temperatures are higher. So, yeah, we see it. We see internal flooding as well on the inside parts of our district. And we have only recently had a handful of politicians and leaders who even were allowed to say climate change. And so I get really angry about it. We really need to not only say, yes, it's happening, but really get in gear to start funding mitigation, to start thinking about what we're going to do for people's health and livelihoods when the water does come, when it does become so bad that we can no longer use our coastal communities. What happens there? I'll tell you what, Key West is already thinking about it. They have areas that are under permanent flooding that the counties are just saying, hey, we can't fix this anymore. It's only a matter of time before the rest of Florida is affected by that. And so what we really need, too, is a federal policy as to what happens then. Are we going to get state support? Are we going to get FEMA? I think we should, because we're really talking about people's entire lives and houses being completely uprooted in very short order because of climate change.
I mean, there's just so many issues. And I look at the guy that you're running against, this Francis Rooney, who doesn't get a lot of press. I mean, he's not on CNN or on Fox News all the time that I've seen. But I argue that he's probably just as bad as all the rest of them.
Well, my campaign actually launched. I was going to run against Francis Rooney, who's the incumbent, launched because he did a 180, because everyone in our district said, hey, climate change is real. We need to do something about it. And so this guy, Francis Rooney, who's made his millions drilling oil wells and cementing over our environment, has decided climate change is real. And so I called him out in an op-ed, and that was the launch of my campaign. Now, here's the thing. A couple weeks later, he decided to resign. So this race is now an open seat, and we have 8 incredibly nutso Republicans running to fill his boots.
Wow, how did I miss that he was resigning? I just looked it up, so this is an interesting.
He's still there.
This is an even more interesting race than I thought it was going to be. Because now you got an open seat with a bunch of crazy.
Oh man, and they're all running to Trump. Every single last one of those Republicans are trying to be the best little Trumper they can possibly be. The lead guy's named Dane Eagle. He as soon as he announced. He was on a plane on Air Force One from Miami with Trump. He just got named to this ridiculous thing called the Young Guns in the Republican National Committee. As they're throwing all their support towards him. And he's nothing really but a stuff suit. He's a local guy, but he doesn't really have anything to offer. And he's just running on that credentials of, guns, God, and glory, and, really nothing back to the community. And it's a shame.
Yeah, but again, that's exactly what Trump wants. Someone not too bright, but blindly loyal.
Absolutely. And you couldn't get more blindly loyal than someone like Dane Eagle.
So what are the folks in your district saying? Because I know you're out there, shaking hands and kissing babies and all that. What kind of responses are you getting from folks on the ground?
Good. It really is fantastic. I've been a longtime community advocate. Working with, like I said, hundreds of organizations around the community. So people know me, but they know me on the technical side. Like I'm the data person, I'm the writing the reports person, I'm the convening the meetings person. And so people know me, and they're kind of interested that I've decided to step up because I'm a youngish mom. I have 3 kids. I'm still running my business. I'm still on faculty at Florida Gulf Coast University. I'm still doing it. And I just really care about this community so much that I decided to step up, and people are amazed, and they love the boxing thing. I'm not going to lie. They love it.
No, I love the boxing thing. I think it's fantastic because look, I want somebody who's going to get in there and mix it. I've been saying for a long time, Democrats, anytime there's a street fight, Democrats will offer to hold your coat. they're not going to
get it. I got the Vaseline on my face. I'm pulling off my earrings. I'm throwing my purse up in the tree. I'm ready to roll.
See, you're somebody I want. You want to move to Pennsylvania? I got a race for you right here where I live. Because here's the thing, this is what I've been saying for a long time. This is the reason that I think a lot of working class voters have moved to Trump and to Republicans, because they see them as someone who's willing to fight. They might be the wrong fight. They might be on the wrong side of it. But it's that willingness to at least get in there and mix it up.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I agree. Because I'm like that, too. I get it. I get the attraction. I really do. I see what people see, because that's my family. Those are the people that I grew up with. These are the people that I play softball with week in and week out. I see the pain and suffering that they've had. I see the crippling debt from healthcare. I see them losing their house because suddenly the housing market is hot and we don't have affordable options and their landlord wants to flip them out on the street and then double their rent. I see these people, and I know they want somebody to fight for them because they really don't feel like anybody has. And they found that in Trump. Unfortunately, he's really not fighting for them. He's fighting for himself and his, the complete demise of our democracy for his own you know, oligarch dream. But, you know, I am fighting for them. And I think, and I know, when I get out there and I start talking to folks, and I already am out there talking to folks, but as I talk to them more and more, and they hear me, and they see me, and they know that I am actually fighting for them, and I'll talk just like them, and I'll get out there, and I'll scrum with them, and I'll do everything that they need to make their lives better, they're going to vote for me.
I'll tell you, I hope. I would love nothing more than to follow you on C-SPAN, and you would officially skyrocket to my favorite congressperson.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I would appreciate that. I bring this level of intensity everywhere I go. I care about everything. I care about my kids. I care about my family. I care about our community. And I do bring the fight. There's nothing, I don't do anything, you know, half-ass. I don't do that. That's not me. You know, I do it and I fight and I'm for real about it. I can do the high and the low too. That's the other thing I tell people. Yeah, I got a PhD and I'm at the university. And when I'm at the university, I talk like I'm at the university, you know? When I'm on the softball field, talk like I'm in the dugout. What can I say?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the kind of thing that makes it real for people. I'm not just somebody who wears blue chinos to an event and, you know, goes into, you know, hoity-toity restaurants and pretends like they're for the people. That's not me.
Yeah, you're one of them. So let me ask you this: the Hillary frame, and I'm not digging up 2016, but when they go low, we go high. What's your response to that?
I do appreciate that because I do pride myself on being an ethical person.
Yeah, good for you.
So I would never stoop to, you know, detrimental levels. But I will call somebody out.
Okay, because I'm of the mindset, you know, you go low, I'm going to mash your head into the ground.
You know, I could be a masher. But what my skill set, I think, really is coming with, like I said, the high and the low. I can talk tough. I can go toe-to-toe with somebody, but I can also bring the facts. I've literally published on this. I've written books, peer-reviewed journal articles across the world. I've worked for 25 different countries' governments, helping them to become more efficient and effective in their policy and program design. Now, if that doesn't sound like something I think our Congress needs, I don't know what it is. But I can do that, and I can still talk to regular people. I can go pick up my kids in car line, and, you know, I can do what needs to be done.
I'm sold. I'm ready to move to Florida to vote for
all right.
You right now.
Well, so you can go ahead and put some money in my ACLU account. And listener that's similarly inspired, because I'm also a grassroots candidate. That's part of being this real person. I don't have, you know, friends in country clubs that are just dropping, you know, max checks in my account. I'm doing $10, $25 donations all over the place. No corporate dollars, no big tax dollars.
Good stuff.
So I'm putting in the work to make that happen.
And I hope people will go to your website, CindyBenier.com. We'll get links out. Throw some money your way. Elections are expensive because it would be incredible to have someone like you with the brains and the brawn and the willingness to mix it up in the halls of Congress. Cindy, I appreciate the time. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again as this continues down the road.
Absolutely, anytime. And, you know, I love talking about issues. That's my favorite thing. Some of my other contenders, they don't like issues. They don't like policies or platforms. I do. I'm a little bit like Elizabeth Warren in that. I got something for everybody. I got something on everything, because this is my world and right. What I've been studying and living for. And I'm ready to put it to work for the people of Southwest Florida.
Yeah, I can see the bumper sticker now. I got a plan for that. And if you don't like it, I'm going to punch you in the nose.
Dang, dang.
I love that. Good stuff. Cindy, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Again, the website, CindyBenier.com. We'll get links out on how you can throw a couple of bucks her way. Fantastic stuff. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.